This is Missouri Appellate Opinions, presented by Ott Law Firm, a St. Louis area plaintiff's litigation firm. Today's case, State of Missouri, Plaintiff Respondent versus Gregory Leon Crum, Defendant Appellant, decided July 22, 2025 by the Missouri Court of Appeals Southern District, 1 in Division State of Missouri, Plaintiff Respondent v. No. SD38531, Gregory Leon Crum, filed July 22, 2025, Defendant Appellant. Appeal from the Circuit Court of Greene County, Honorable Jerry A. Harmison, Jr., affirmed. Gregory Leon Crum, Defendant, appeals his convictions of first-degree rape via forcible compulsion, count 1, a violation of section 566.030, and first-degree statutory rape by having sexual intercourse with a person less than 14 years of age, count 2, a violation of section 566.032. 1. Defendant's two convictions were based upon one act of sexual intercourse with a child less than 14 years old, victim. One defendant waived his right to a trial by jury and was convicted after a bench trial. Defendant was convicted of 3 additional offenses, but defendant does not challenge those convictions. Unless otherwise indicated, all statutory references are to RSMO 2016, as supplemented through the date of defendant's criminal conduct. 2. Defendant's sole point on appeal claims the judgment violated his constitutional right to be free from double jeopardy. 2. Finding no merit in that claim, we affirm, governing law and standard of review. The protection against double jeopardy is found in the 5th Amendment to the United States Constitution, applied to the states by the 14th Amendment, and prevents criminal defendants from being subject to multiple punishments for the same offense. State v. Thompson, 361 SW 3D 46 50, Morant App, WD 2011. This protection is intended to confine the sentencing discretion of the courts to the limits established by the legislature. Indeed, the relevant determination in a double jeopardy analysis is whether the legislature intended cumulative punishments. Idietreta v. State, 559 SW 3D 406 410, Moapod WD 2018. Rule 3020 is the exclusive means by which an appellant can seek review of any unpreserved claim of error and said claim no matter if it is statutory, constitutional, structural, or of some other origin, is evaluated by this court's plain error framework without exception. State v. Brandelis, 601 SW 3D 519 530, Moerbank 2020, emphasis omitted. Plain error review includes 2 steps. The first step involves an examination to determine whether plain error has, in fact, occurred, or in other words, whether the claim for review facially establishes substantial grounds for believing that manifest injustice or miscarriage of justice has resulted. State v. Scurlock, 998 SW2D 578 586, Motored App WD 1999, quoting State v. Brown, 902 SW2D 278 284, Motored Bank 1995. Plain errors are those which are evident, obvious, and clear. Idin, quoting State v. Bailey, 839 SW 2 657 661 Moap WD 1992. The defendant bears the burden of showing that an alleged error has produced such a manifest injustice. State v. Issa, 850 SW 2 D 876 884 Modern Bank 1993. State v. Putfark, 651 SW 3 D 869 880 Moap WD 2022. 2. Because defendant did not present this argument to the circuit court, defendant requests plain error review under Rule 3020. All rule references are to Missouri Court Rules 2025. 3. Analysis. Defendant's point claims the trial court plainly erred in entering sentence and judgment for both rape by forcible compulsion, section 566.030, on count 1, and first degree statutory rape, section 566.032, on count 2, on evidence of the same conduct because this violated defendant's rights to be free from double jeopardy and to due process of law, in that where first-degree statutory rape is a general sexual offense and rape, by forcible compulsion is a specific form of sexual offense with a heightened mens rea. Defendant was subjected to multiple punishments for the same offense upon conviction for counts, and we disagree. Count 1 charged defendant with committing first-degree rape by forcible compulsion in that he knowingly had sexual intercourse with victim by the use of forcible compulsion. The age of the victim is not an element of that crime. Count two charged that the sexual intercourse also constituted first-degree statutory rape in that defendant had sexual intercourse with victim, a child less than 14 years old, a crime that does not require forcible compulsion. Under our current law, a person commits the crime of rape in the first degree if he or she has sexual intercourse with another person who is incapable.